RTVE Audio. Descarga la nueva app y disfruta de los programas de RNE y nuestros podcasts originales.
Radio Exterior de España.
English Language Service.
Greetings from Madrid and welcome to the English language broadcast of Spanish National Radio, where we bring Spain to you through our shortwave broadcast. On today's broadcast, we speak with Michael Reed, former correspondent of The Economist, about his book Spain, The Trials and Triumphs of a Modern European Country, published in 2023 and which now has been translated to Spanish. In this book, he explains Spanish current social and political issues, providing a historical context.
What good come out of it? I think there is an underlying movement of public opinion in Spain back towards moderation and the center. And, you know, it hasn't been expressed in political outcomes at the moment, but I think it, you know, might over time be expressed in political outcomes.
On today's broadcast, we have help from sound technician Jesús Carreras and production help from Cristina Dorado. Before we get into all of that, we bring you the news. In Amnesty Law news, the Senate, with the People's Party's majority, announced they will bring up an initiative to request the Congress to withdraw the law. If the initiative is approved, the Congress will have 30 days to reply, and if they don't, the Senate can appeal to the Constitutional Court to suspend the law.
Por tratarse de una reforma encubierta de la Constitución.
They argue that it's a concealed constitutional reform. Meanwhile, the socialists accuse the People's Party of collaborating with the far right and using the Senate to block and delay laws. Félix Bolaños, Minister of the Presidency.
Por supuesto, de la mano de la ultraderecha, ha preguntado si está obligado a tramitar una ley que viene del Congreso.
Holding hands with the far right, they have asked if they are obliged to process a law that came from Congress. For the first time in the history of democracy, they consider blatantly breaching the law and the Constitution.
Incumplir de manera flagrante la ley y la Constitución.
On Wednesday morning, Pere Aragonès, regional minister of Catalonia and leader of separatist party Esquerra Republicana, proposed a new finance model in which the region would be in charge of collecting and managing all the taxes and then transfer the resources to the state. Currently, the state collects and manages the taxes and later distributes them with the regions. Mr. Aragonès assured the foundation of this agreement would be bilaterality with the state.
Se basa pues en una idea muy básica. Yo no voy a negociar por otros territorios. No
it
voy.
Is based on a basic idea. I will not negotiate for other territories and tell them what finance system they should have.
¿Qué sistema de financiación deben tener?
The socialist government considered that this is an issue that has to be addressed with all the regions. Carlos Cuerpo, Minister of Economic Affairs.
El diálogo entre todas las comunidades autónomas es el que nos tiene que llevar también a una decisión en el marco precisamente.
Dialogue between all the regions has to lead us to a decision in the framework of the group led by the Deputy Prime Minister and Minister of Finance, where all the finance councilmen and women are present and which have to develop this financing system.
Esa reforma del sistema de financiación.
In other political news, corruption cases involving members of both the Socialist and the People's Party continue to be on the focus of the political debate. While the investigations involving tax fraud by her partner continue, Madrilian Regional Minister People's Party's Isabel Díaz Ayuso has reported to journalists for trying to break into her house. The journalists deny these accusations and condemn threats to their colleagues after Miguel Ángel Rodríguez, press officer from Mrs. Ayuso, sent a text message to a reporter saying, "We are going to crush you, you will have to close down." The opposition asked for her resignation, but the People's Party diverted the attention to the corruption cases involving the socialists. Alberto Núñez Feijóo, leader of the People's Party, announced a parliamentary investigation for these cases.
Habrá una investigación específica sobre los asuntos que le afectan a su entorno más inmediato.
There will be a specific investigation about the subjects that affect your close circle, parliamentary for sure, and also judicial if it's necessary.
Y judicial también si es necesario.
In Seville, the judge ordered provisional detention without bail to the truck driver who ran over an anti-drug control in a highway on Tuesday morning. Six people lost their lives, including two police agents, and five were injured. The driver tested negative for alcohol and drugs, and at the moment, the evidence points at a distraction. On his first declaration, he assured he did not see the control. Rafael Jiménez Onetti, Civil Guard Chief of Traffic.
No ha sido algo intencionado, ha sido un siniestro vial con los vehículos que estaban parados.
It was not something intentional, it was a traffic accident. He crashed against the stopped vehicles and the police guards that were there. After the incident, the Civil Guard demand once again that the profession is considered risky. Former Barcelona Football Club player Dani Alves will be released from prison after the judge accepted his request for probation with a bail of 1 million euros, as they consider the risks of him escaping are lower. Still, the judge confiscated his passports as he is not allowed to leave the country and he will have to appear in court on a weekly basis. Dani Alves was accused of raping a woman in a Barcelona nightclub back in December of 2022. He was put in provisional detention for 14 months and later condemned to 4 years and a half of prison. Social and political issues might sometimes be difficult to understand for a foreign audience and sometimes even for Spaniards. Separatism, nationalism, polarization are some of the concepts that have been making headlines in the last years. But how did we get here? English journalist and writer Michael Reed tries to answer this question in his book Spain, the Trials and Triumphs of a Modern European Country, published in 2023 and which now has been translated to Spanish. Michael is joining us today to talk about it. Michael, thank you for being with us.
Hello, thanks for the invitation.
Well, Michael, I think that the first question is quite clear. What motivated you to write this book?
No, I mean, I was very hesitant about embarking on a book about Spain because I think there have been too many books by Brits about Spain. And I thought, unless I have something in particular to add, there was no strong reason to do so. But what persuaded me was actually the coverage of the Catalan conflict in 2017, and I think a lot of the coverage abroad displayed a lot of ignorance about the realities of that conflict. And also I felt, there was a tendency to kind of blame anything wrong in Spain on the legacy of Franco, the dictator. And I thought that was wrong too. So what I wanted to do was explore the problems of Spain in the last 15 years and try and look at where they come from and to what extent they're exceptional. And I think most of them are not exceptional, but one or two are.
Well, yeah, as you mentioned, one of the main focuses of the book is Catalan separatism. Ever since the failed independence bid back in 2017 and today with the amnesty law, Spanish society has been more divided than ever about this issue. What do you think this is coming from?
Well, I think that, I mean, Catalan separatism, you know, one can make several different readings of it, but I think one, and clearly there is a history which I explore of Catalan cultural nationalism and then political nationalism, but the switch to seeking independence was a big change from the past, right? And I saw that as one of several essentially populist movements in Spain unleashed by the financial crisis and the austerity that followed. And in Spain, the impact of the financial crisis was extremely deep. It spawned several versions of populism. You know, I thought it was very akin in many ways to Brexit, Catalan separatism, an identitarian, essentially identitarian movement, whose proponents claimed it was really about radical democracy. But I think if you dug a little bit deeper, it was clearly identitarian inspiration, and that saw that tried to blame Madrid. And Brussels in the case of Brexit, Madrid in the case of the Catalan independence movement, for problems which were, you know, much more complicated than that.
Well, in the book, you also speak about other types of separatist movements in Spain, like Basque, Galician. Do you see a difference between these other separatist movements and Catalan?
Well, no, I think the Catalan separatist movement became much stronger for a period than Basque separatism, and certainly than Galician separatism, you know. But we've seen in recent years a growth of EH Bildu, the successor party to ETA, the party that represents the kind of sympathizers of ETA, the terrorist group. Although they, interestingly, are stressing kind of socioeconomic issues more than independence. And then there's been some growth of the Galician nationalists, but in a context in which I think both Galicia and actually the Basque country have done very well by being part of Spain. And I think part of the explanation for the growth of the Catalan independence movement was the sense that Catalonia was losing ground in relation to the rest of Spain, and particularly in relation to Madrid, in the past 20 years or so, you know? For several reasons. Yeah?
Well, you definitely focus a lot on historical and social, on the historical and social analysis. Do you think that Spaniards are aware about where these issues are coming from?
Well, I think quite a lot of Spaniards are. Maybe not all of them, but that's true of any country. I think that there are people who are not particularly aware of history. What I wanted to look at was. Spain had this transition to democracy in the 70s and 80s, which was widely seen as a successful model, and it had kind of 25 very successful years of economic growth, of consolidation of democracy, of moving into the kind of Western European mainstream, growth of the middle class, and so on. And then with the financial crisis, you know, a series of problems emerged, austerity, corruption, political polarization, populisms, etc. No? And I think a lot of those problems, a lot of those ills, if you like, are the ills of democracies generally in this century, no? in the rest of Europe, in the US, in Latin America, and so on. But What are the specifics? Well, the specifics in Spain are the relative strength of these regional nationalism, to use an oxymoron. And the other is, I think, the other kind of specificity is the kind of depth of the left-right divide in Spain. And I think those do come from history, no? And in particular, the strength of the regional nationalism comes from the relative weakness of the Spanish state in the 19th century. So I have a chapter which looks at that and which is titled Why Spain is Not France, because quite a lot of Spaniards, particularly nowadays, particularly on the right, previously on the left, kind of would like it if Spain was like France. But the French state after the revolution in the 19th century was much more successful in imposing from the top down, from Paris outward, a single language, a single model, and integrating the country. Partly because, you know, Spanish geography, until high-speed trains and motorways and planes, was an obstacle to the cohesion of the territory.
You spoke about the transition period, which, of course, has always been seen as a model, as an example for other transitions. And you said that, of course, we've had a few years of stability. But now, I mean, we're probably going through a tough period politically and socially. Do you think that perhaps this also has to do with that the transition was not as exemplary as we thought it was?
No, I don't think you can blame it on the transition. I mean, I think the transition was pretty successful. I think the problems have arisen from kind of departing from the spirit of the transition, if you like. And in particular, because, you know, the transition involved kind of the seeking of a broad consensus across the political spectrum. And that spirit is gone. And there's a much more confrontational spirit that's been back, which the latest events regarding the amnesty and so on have heightened. This notion that Pedro Sanchez, the Prime Minister, in particular, deploys nowadays, that of two political blocks, and that if he allies with the rest of the left and the nationalists, then he can exclude the right from power, and that's what's happened. Whereas I think in other countries in Europe, after the last election in last July, in which the Conservative Popular Party came very close to being able to assemble a majority, but just short of that, I think in other European countries you would have had a move for a cross-party agreement on some basic things, not necessarily a grand coalition, but also I think in other countries in Europe and some other countries, given that Sanchez had always said that he was against an amnesty and a referendum in Catalonia, and he only negotiated the amnesty bill because it was his only way of hanging on to power. Mm-hmm. I think that would have prompted a rebellion in the ruling party. Had something like that happened in France or in the UK, and one of the characteristics of Spanish democracy as it has evolved, and this maybe does perhaps have something to do with the transition arrangements, the arrangements put in place during the transition, is that party leaders have almost Stalinist control over their parties, no? Mm-hmm. So there's no rebellion, and we'll see what happens in the medium term. But I do think that this is a difficult period, as you mentioned.
Do you think that it's possible that something good comes out of all the tension and all the instability that we're going through?
Well, Sanchez would argue that, you know, that as what he called making a virtue of necessity, his necessity, And the virtue would be bringing concord to Catalonia, which you know was kind of happening anyway, slowly. That may or may not happen faster now, but I mean it's at the price of dividing Spain as a whole and dividing the population. You know, polarization in Spain until recently, I think, was largely a matter of the politicians and not reflected in the society. I think there's some evidence that it's starting to be reflected in the society. I mean, families feeling uncomfortable about discussing some topics over lunch or whatever, and things like that. What good come out of it? I think there is an underlying movement of public opinion in Spain back towards moderation and the center. And, you know, it hasn't been expressed in political outcomes at the moment, but I think it, you know, might over time be expressed in political outcomes.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would like to finish the interview asking you, of course, you're a foreigner writing about Spain. How do you think... do you think that the image of Spain from abroad is different than the one that we have living it inside of Spain? Or is it more positive? Is it more negative?
That's an interesting question. I mean, I think historically the image was negative. I mean, there were two kind of two myths or legends that kind of intersected, the so-called black legend from the 16th century that Spain was a kind of reactionary, cruel Catholic country, you know, very backward. And then the romantic myth of the 19th century that Spain was, because it was a backward country, was kind of pre-modern and sensual and attractive and so on. I mean, I think there is an image in the rest of, you know, outside Spain nowadays that takes into account the kind of progress in Spain in the last 50 years. And that, I mean, there are surveys, opinion surveys, that regularly show that foreigners have a higher opinion of Spain than Spaniards do, right? So you do have a tendency to beat yourself up.
All right. Well, I think we can finish with that. Michael, thank you so much for joining us in the English Language Broadcast.
Thanks. Thanks very much indeed.
Summer is approaching, and as from Sunday, the 31st of March, Radio Exterior de España will be using new frequencies and new broadcast times for our shortwave broadcasts. From Monday to Friday, we will broadcast from 15 hours to 23 hours UTC to Western Africa and the South Atlantic on 15390 kHz in the 19-meter band, and to the Middle East and the Indian Ocean on 15520 kHz in the 19-meter band. From 18 hours to 02 hours UTC, we will broadcast to North America on 17855 kHz in the 16-meter band, and to South America on 17715 kHz in the 16-meter band. On Saturdays and Sundays, our broadcast will go out on the same frequencies and to the same zones from 14 hours to 23 hours UTC. We remind listeners that you can listen to our programs any time of the day on internet, mobile device apps, and digital terrestrial television, and by satellite. For more information, visit our website at www.rtve.es, then clicking on the tabs Radio and then Radio Exterior. After 5 days of celebrations, the Fallas came to an end yesterday with La Nit de la Crema. the burning of all the fires. Although the Fires Week officially began on the 15th of March, at the beginning of the month, the Mascletà inaugurated the fires season. The Mascletà is a pyrotechnic event that, unlike fireworks, does not focus so much on the visual aspect, but mostly aims to produce noise and rhythm. The explosions of the Mascletàs are supposed to rise in intensity until they reach a thunderous ending. They usually take place every day since the 1st of March until the 19th at 2 p.m. and last between 6 and 7 minutes. The first official day of the Fallas is the 15th of March and begins with the plantà. The word plantà comes from the verb to plant and it means setting up the Fallas into place. The morning of the 15th, the children Fallas are set up first and the remaining Fallas are usually finished on the night between the 15th and the 16th. Formerly, the fires were supposed to be put in place in one day, but now, as the complexity of the monuments has increased, falleros are given a few days to set up the fires in the streets of Valencia. The origins of this fiesta of international tourist interest dates back centuries. The popular version is that Valencian carpenters used to build bonfires from the remains and leftover shavings from their work during the eve of their patron saint day, Saint Joseph, on the 19th of March. In that bonfire, they also burnt their parots, the structures that held their lamps, since they were no longer necessary with the arrival of the spring. The events evolved over the years. In the 18th century, Las Fallas already consisted on making bonfires with combustible materials on the eve of St. Joseph's Day, and little by little they advanced as a mockery of the injustices to the point of constructing authentic works of art made from cardboard, wood, paper, fabric or polyester. Today they continue to have a humorous and ironic tone. The fallas are usually composed by ninots, that's what the figures set up in the fallas are called, and many times they represent celebrities or social and political figures. This year, of course, Prime Minister Pedro Sánchez and exiled Catalan leader Carles Puigdemont were not missing in the form of ninots, as well as a screaming protester against the amnesty law which went viral a few months ago. The ninots are also used to raise awareness about other issues. This year's ninot indultat was a figure of a grandpa and his granddaughter sharing a sweet moment in a tiger nut milk shop, a traditional Valencian drink. And the children's ninot indultat raises awareness about Alzheimer's disease with the name Don't Forget Me. These ninots were not burnt in the crema as they were pardoned. On the night of the 19th of March, all the fallas, except for the ninots indultats, were burned in the streets of Valencia, something that caused mixed feelings in the falleros.
Tengo ganas también, porque...
I am looking forward to it. Everything will be reborn. New fallas will come back. It's the charm of this celebration. It's sad, but it's something that has to be done every year. We are reaching the end of today's broadcast and we finish with the song that has accompanied this year's fallas. This song, released by Valencian singer Tacho, is called Arrimaeta. Although it was released in January this year, it went viral this month with the celebration of Las Fallas and it has become this year's anthem. You've been listening to the English language broadcast of Spanish National Radio. I've been Marilyn Quintana, and today I've had help from sound technician Jesús Carreras and production help from Cristina Dorado. We thank you for listening and hope you tune in for future broadcasts. Son les oui del matí. Tinc la boca seca, tanta mascleta. Dita-li, és fatal. Este paso doble me recorda lo de nit al carme. En dos altres vals anates. Només penso en apegar-me. On jo carreret del pare. Arrimaleta, una mà posa la cadereta. Teta. Esto del carrer ya se inflama, a siete es la ma. Y si el traje aprieta, una per buñol y un traguete en mis teletas. Chiqueta me voy.